Good morning, church. Welcome to Mount Joy Mennonite. We're so excited that you've chosen to be with us this morning. Welcome to Youth Sunday. We're beyond honored that we get to kind of showcase some of what we do at Youth, and thank you to the worship team for just awesome worship this morning. Before we start, I want to give just a couple quick updates. Some of you might have received a phone call, I believe it was on Thursday, about one of our young adults, Freddie Williams. He went into the hospital last Sunday with complications related to sickle cell disease. His mom, Alicia, sent us this update yesterday. She said, "He's doing a lot better this morning. He's breathing with only a small amount of oxygen, sitting up, coughing on his own, and able to eat and drink. Freddie will remain in the ICU for now, but requires less monitoring today than previously. His lower lungs are still collapsed, but his doctors anticipate improvement in that with time." And then Alicia's sister-in-law yesterday was able to relieve Fred and Alicia so they could have some respite. So would you just continue to lift up Freddie in your prayers that God would continue to heal and restore his body? And then another quick update is next Sunday after service, we will have our congregational meeting, and that will be directly following the service during the Next Steps Hour right here in this room. So this morning, we wanted to bring to you guys our student leadership team. This was our team last August. We really wanted to launch a student leadership team. We wanted to bring something that would be able to equip students, not just as leaders, but to grow them spiritually. And so these four amazing students decided to come on the journey with Becca and I, and they were incredible. We did so much this past year, from them serving on Sunday nights here for youth we had a student leadership retreat that was incredible. And so this morning, I wanted them to come up here and kind of do like a panel with them, for them to share their testimony, their story, to share a formative scripture that has really shaped their life, and then some questions related to what we call Gen Z, which is represented from nine-year-olds all the way to 24-year-olds. And so Gen Z is one of the current largest generations that the church will have an ability to impact. And some stats that Barna Research, who puts out like really good stats, they interviewed around 25,000 students here in America and pulled these statistics. But this is what Gen Z currently is experiencing. 65% in America said they identify as a Christian, which I thought was really, really encouraging to hear that a large percentage of Gen Z says, "Hey, I'm a believer in Jesus." 57% of millennials, which would be represented by my age group, they said this, which would be drop their Christian influence after high school. So one of the concerns with obviously Gen Z is, how do we bridge the gap so that they don't fall away like millennials and previous generations have? Gen Z is currently the largest incoming gen to date, and one that is searching, this is the words that Barna said, for a real and authentic encounter with Jesus. They're not just looking for religion. And I thought, man, that's so encouraging. And what we experienced with these four this past year was just that. So Zach's going to kick us off. So the format is they're going to share their story. They're going to share a formative scripture, talk a little bit about student leadership and kind of what they experienced there. So Zach, would you share your testimony with us?
Hey, guys. I'm Zach Benner. I grew up with two great Christian parents and a Christian families. Was always at church and involved in it since birth. I attended clubs and was in junior high and youth group. I got baptized when I was 17 here and have been trying my best to live out the Christian way and lifestyle publicly. I just graduated from high school and will now be moving to Florida with a couple buddies tomorrow. Looking to see what God has in store for this year and what I will do after.
Hello, I'm Sydney Brubaker, and so I grew up in a Christian home all my life, and then at a young age, I asked Jesus into my heart with my brother, and then later when I was 14, I made a public confession of my faith through getting baptized here at MJMC, And then after this, I tried to live a life for God, but I always felt like I was never fully putting my trust in him. And it wasn't until about like 2 years later from getting baptized when I was 16, I found out that my mom had cancer, that I then began to put my trust fully in the Lord so I could get through that hard time in my life. And now I try to live each day fully trusting and waiting to see what God's plan for my life is as I'm starting college tomorrow and moving on.
Let's go.
Hi. So, as most of you know, I grew up going to this church my entire life. I attend, like, pretty much every Sunday. And so, I think just, like, growing up a lot, I never, like, fully realized, like, what I was supposed to be doing. And I kind of just, like, coming to church, dressing up a little bit, you know. And, yeah, so I was kind of just, like, going through the motions, wasn't really taking it seriously, and just, like, really fell away with a lot of my actions I was doing, especially when I got to high school. But then I think when Josh stepped in, I know, when Josh stepped in as the youth pastor, it really helped me a lot because it just, like, it helped me grow, and it just gave me, like, a better learning environment. And then he asked me to be a youth leader, and that helped me grow a lot just because, yeah, just a good group to surround myself with to keep pushing me. So, yeah, and then recently I got baptized, and now I'm just continuing to grow my faith.
I'm Callie. So I also have been in the church my whole life. My dad is the worship pastor here. And I think it was like 4-ish years ago that we came here. And I will say at first it was really hard on me. It was right in my middle school years. And that was when I was starting to struggle with my anxiety and depression. And I think that I felt like I was stepping into a small family coming from a big community of contemporary churches. It felt like I was walking into a family that was already established. And that made it really hard for me to feel like I would be wanted. But once we got here, I figured out very quickly that everyone's super welcoming and loving. And I made really good friendships right away. And I've just been growing since then. Oh, also, I was baptized at 6. So that's kind of young, but it feels like that's been a good foundation for my faith that I've kept in a part of me as I've been growing up.
So good. One of the really fun parts this past year that working with these four, so the way we kind of did it was we would bring them over to our house once a month and share like for a meal, and then we would pour into them. So they got to learn their spiritual gifts. They got to walk through a personality assessment. So they got to learn about themselves a little bit. But one of the really fun parts was getting to know each one of them uniquely. I learned very quickly that Sid is our logistics person. I mean, she's like the planner, always comes super prepared. Zach is the life of the party and just brought energy. And Wade and Callie just, I feel like they always brought consistency and just like love to our youth group and new and fresh ideas. And as you might have heard, two of them, Zach and Sid, are seniors. They've graduated, so they'll actually be moving on. But Wade and Callie will still be on our team and excited to continue to build with them. One of the questions I asked them to bring was, I think all of us hopefully maybe have a scripture or a verse that we find formative in our faith journey. And so I've asked them to bring that scripture this morning for them to read it, but also to share on how it's been formative for their life and even current season.
My favorite verse is John 15:18. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. There's so much hate in this world and negativity. Lots of people can't handle it. Then we look at this verse and realize Jesus was hated on way more than any of us. The amount of hate he received was more than we could ever imagine. So when we get hated on, just think about how much Jesus was hated more than you. And then, yeah.
That's good.
So the scripture I chose is from 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 24. For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, If the world hates you, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down the lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of Jesus be in that person? Dear children, do not let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his command and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know this by the Spirit he gave us. So I chose this because I feel like it's really important to show love to those around you, especially when it's people that it's sometimes hard to, like, I don't know, you might disagree with them, or it's hard to have a relationship, or just because we live in a hard world. And just, like, I like to remember that it's important to remember that Jesus loved us so much that he paid the ultimate sacrifice. So because he did that for us, then we should love those around us who are his children too.
That's great.
All right, so I chose Romans 1:16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So the reason I chose these verses is because, like, as humans, it's easy for us to just give into the world and all the temptations it offers us. But if we stand in our faith strongly, firmly, and unashamed, then we can fight against the flow of all of that. People tend to realize when things are out of the norm, and if they see us standing firmly against the flow, then they could start to wonder what we believe in that is so true that we're not giving in to what's around us. And then, like, if they start to, like, wonder, like, oh, like, how are they, like, able to do that? Like, how are they able to fight against everything? They can start to look, and they can start to see.
That's great.
So the entire book of James is my favorite book of the Bible, but James 1, 2, and 3 would be my favorite verses. It says, consider a joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. I said that this feels like such an empowering verse, and it reminds us of a reason for suffering, and it helps to keep me grounded in knowing that God gives me strength through everything that I go through.
That's great. That's really good. I think formative scriptures like that are key. And what I've learned in all four of these students is that there's a deep love and appreciation, not only for God's word, but for the presence of God. On our student leadership retreat back this March, we took them to Raystown Lake and got a cabin there for the weekend. And we dove into hearing the voice of the Lord. And it was a really, really powerful retreat. A fun part of that retreat, and this just kind of highlighted the different personality types, was we went on a hike in Raystown Park there. And it was a pretty intense hike. Like, I was, like, dying, literally. And so we were climbing up this one part, and the trail kind of, like, went off in a weird direction. And so Zach and Wade, being our trailblazers, they went down and made their own trail down the side of a mountain, might I say. Not only down the side of a mountain, but it had rain, so it was incredibly slippery. So we're, like, walking down this mountain. I, like, drop my water bottle, tumble down the mountain. People are sliding. We're trying to hold it. It was just crazy. So, but being able to experience God's presence with them and also enjoy each other's company and get to learn just that fun part. And so the question I asked them to come with is, how has student leadership impacted your life? So just that.
It's impacted my life in the way forcing me to get out of my comfort zone with public speaking and leading in groups, in a group setting. It also helped me get in the Word more with some of the activities we did, because we had this like little book, and then we like went through the book, and in the book you had to like read the Bible. So it helped me get in the Word more.
So I would also say that student leadership helped me to get into the Word more consistently. But then also, it forced me to take on more responsibilities, such as planning events. And then I was also trying to help Pastor Josh stay more organized.
Yes. Yes. 100%. That's good.
So student leadership impacted me a lot, because like I mentioned before, it provided me with like a small group who like kept me like pushing to keep growing and everything. But then also taught me how to like lead others in their like own personal journey, and just like how to make it like fun at the same time and like something that they want to like keep doing.
That's great.
I would say that it's giving me a deeper understanding of myself and how I work with others. Like Josh said, our personalities came out a lot with our little group. One of the things we did was a personal index?
Mm-hmm.
And so three out of the four of us figured out we were Mavericks, which is a super strong personality type, which makes sense for me, but and then it also gave me a deeper connection with all of them, and also a passion for my generation. We recently went to the SEND and the SEND conference in Reading, and that was just pretty much the entire stadium was filled with just people in my generation worshiping God and like preparing us for the next school year, helping us make a way for us to reach the people around us and the people in our schools.
That's great. Thank you, Kelly. Another question for you guys, for the students maybe in this room who are listening, would you recommend student leadership to them?
Yeah. I recommend this to the shy or less confident student, because it forces people to lead and not just hide in the background or sit in the background. Mm-hmm. Also recommend this to the detail-oriented person who wants to know what's going on, because you're involved in like everything and you know everything.
Yeah.
And you can also plan everything. So you can, you know, you have your mind and you have your ideas in the youth. So, you know, you can have fun as well.
So I would also recommend student leadership to another student, because it provides an opportunity to make closer connections with your fellow student leaders and adult leaders in the youth group. Plus, as a student leader, you get to go to Josh and Becca's house once a month to grow more spiritually as leaders. And then what some people might say is a greater perk is we get some pretty amazing meals prepared by Pastor Josh.
So I would definitely recommend student leadership to anyone listening, because I think it really can help you grow in ways you didn't realize you needed growth. And it can also like teach you how to lead like with your spiritual gifts that God gave you.
So that's 4 for 4. I would also say yes, I would recommend, because if you have a desire to grow and help others grow in your faith, this is a really good opportunity to just kind of step out of your box a little bit, and also it gives you an opportunity to start in like a smaller setting if you're like, before you go and you're like evangelizing to your school, like you're just starting small, like, yeah, so I recommend.
That's so good. Callie, you had said something earlier. I made a note of it real quick. We, during, it was like midway through our time together, Derek Mellaby gave us the student leadership team, but also our adult leadership team for youth, gave us something called the Predictive Index. And the Predictive Index is an amazing kind of personality assessment that talks a lot about like how you're wired. And like Callie said, one of the things that came out was there was 3 Mavericks just in this group alone. And I think, Sid, you were like, of course, the really detailed-oriented one. And I want to say this about Sid. She had planned, some of you parents had participated in, we had a parent night out. And Sid, like, I mean, literally came in here, prepared the entire environment for kids that night. I mean, she set games up, crafts up. It was incredible, and students came to serve as a fundraiser to help raise money towards our mission trip. And so, again, Sid, I can't thank you enough for everything you provided. Callie ran our social media this year and posted really cool content. It was just like so neat to be able to dive deeper into students' lives and to see the impact. And so one of the things that we're going to continue to do is we're going to continue to have a student leadership program because we believe we want to empower student leaders to not only find their identity in God, but to lead in their family, to lead in their school, to lead here at the church. And so just really honored that Becca and I were able to get to know you guys on a deeper scale. I want to kind of switch a little bit now. We're going to talk a little bit about Gen Z, so that age group I mentioned earlier from 9-year-olds to 24-year-olds. And I have some questions for them because all four of them represent Gen Z. And I think it's important for us as a church body. It's important for me as a youth pastor to hear it, but also for you guys, because without you guys, our youth ministry wouldn't be possible. I think about so many faces and stories in here of you have sacrificially given to our youth ministry to be able to do foreign missions, to be able to provide Sunday night activities. And so thank you, and truly from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for all you do. And so I wanted you maybe to get some insight into this generation on what they're desiring in a church. The first question is, what is the biggest thing Gen Z desires in their walk with God?
I think personally, the biggest thing Gen Z desires in their walk with God is just proof of God. With all the questions and conspiracy theories these days, people question everything. So just the Holy Spirit walking through you and people understanding that that's the voice of God and not their own consciousness. Also them seeing God in the little things in their daily life.
That's great.
Okay, so I don't know if I'm necessarily the best person to answer this question because I honestly have a tough time remembering myself what people call my generation. But I will say that I feel like most people around my age are searching for answers in all aspects of their lives because we live in a confusing time with lots of distractions around us and temptations. And I think it's important for us to be able to witness and lean on good Christian role models who can help us as we try to discover who we are and what our purpose is in life.
That's good. Thanks.
So I kind of said like multiple things that they probably would desire in their walk with God. I think they would desire like identity and like a sense of worth and direction. I think like a lot of Gen Z just struggles with like finding out like who they are and like what they're supposed to do in this world just because like there's so many standards of like what we're supposed to live up to. And then, so I think, like, if they look towards God, they can, like, start to find out who they are and, like, what they're supposed to do because, like, he'll show them the gifts that they were given so then they can go to the future and use those gifts and stuff.
That's great.
I said that Gen Z mostly desires love from God because we live in a world where love can be a lot of different things shown in a lot of different ways. And I feel like we mostly just want to feel seen, appreciated, and loved for who we are. That being said, I feel like Gen Z is desiring a loving relationship with God rather than coming to, I mean, not like that coming to church is a bad thing, but like religion, relationship over religion, and knowing that his love is unconditional.
That's so good. What is Gen Z looking for in a church?
I would first say a coffee stand, a little place to get a snack or coffee in the morning. I would say an upbeat worship team. I also would say a church that talks about the real problems of the world and doesn't hide from these questions.
That's good.
So I would say that Gen Z is looking for a church with a bigger program for youth and young adults. At least I know like through some of my friends with what I've heard them say. And a lot of times it seems like when Gen Z actually works up the courage to go to a new church, it usually isn't what they expected, or they aren't sure how to get socially involved with a group of people who already know each other. And then they have a harder time continuing to go because and becoming involved in the church. And if I had to sum it up, I would say that Gen Z needs people to genuinely welcome them and connect them to the right people who are interested in helping them adjust to the church. Otherwise, they might not come back because they don't understand that they need to invest their own time into a church to get what they want out of it.
Wow, that's good.
I would say Gen Z is looking for like stability in a church. I think because there's so much uncertainty with everything going on in the world around us, that they just need something that they can come back to and that's like stable and that they can lean on. So I think they just need a congregation that's going to be there for them, just like support them through everything. And I think if they stand by the congregation and the congregation stands by them, then they can flourish.
I said that Gen Z wants a church that's ready to move forward and make way for the next generations to lead. I think that when you're talking about the smaller churches, it's kind of a hard thing to think about, losing some traditions, that kind of thing. But I think that there's a lot of really good leaders in our generation who want to be able to grow and grow with the church and take it in a different, not in a different direction, but like just towards the future.
That's great. Wade, you had said something I want to hit on. He said stability, and I think one of the things I talk to our adult leaders about all the time is consistency and showing up. There's something powerful that happens when an adult leader shows up consistently in the life of a student every week. For a lot of students, they don't have the stability in the home life, and so coming to a weekly program on a Sunday night, I mean, is some of the only stability they might get in their life. And in this generation, Gen Z desperately desires that authentic relationship. And I think as a church, I can say we do such a great job at showing up in this generation's life, from elementary, now all the way up to young adults with the Grove. I think we show up weekly to be able to provide an environment for them to grow in their faith. Last question. What do you see God doing in Gen Z right now?
I see God in Gen Z spreading the word through social media platforms and people very bold in their faith. In this world today, if you're not strong in your faith, you can wander off the path and be on thin ice constantly. I see God building up stronger Christians than ever, and us Christians waking up to the world around us and realizing how evil and crooked it is, then desiring a path to conquer this evil world. And part of that plan would be just loving everybody, no matter who they are, no matter what they believe in.
So my answer is kind of similar to Zach's. So while social media and the internet can cause a lot of harm and can lead people off the path of God, I've also seen there are more Christian media, or there's more Christian media arising on these platforms with younger people speaking the word of God, just like videos of them on the streets speaking or more of a rally setting. And even along with that, there have been younger people who are like aspiring to be pastors and even post many sermons on their accounts. I know my friends follow this one younger guy, I think he's like college age, Elijah Lamb, and he's like, he wants to be a pastor, so like you can go on his account and you can just get like many sermons from people in our generation.
That's good.
I see God calling Gen Z just to like strengthen their faith together, and then just like going out and like spreading that to the people around them. And like, so like we were at the Send, and like that was a very large gathering. I think that was a very powerful like place to be, just because like everyone was just like worshiping, everybody was in it and stuff. And so like I think when Gen Z gathers, they can be powerful. So I think just the more that they start to gather and worship, the more people start to take notice, and the more that it's going to spread.
Yeah, so that's kind of like mine. I said that God is moving big time in revivals across the U.S. I said Gen Z is honestly on fire for Jesus and spreading like a wildfire through conferences and gatherings. Like everyone else was saying, we went to the Send. There are also Jesus rallies in Ephrata, and then Unrestricted goes to different schools in like a few, I think it's once every month. And there's even just like right here in Lancaster, there are so many revivals and gatherings of just people in Gen Z honestly there just to worship God. There have been so many baptisms, probably hundreds, and each of these things are equipping students to spread the gospel.
That's great. One of the things that constantly is on my mind when I'm pastoring students is I want to prepare a church for future generations, right? Like, I want to make sure that we're always on the cutting edge of, you know, how do we reach students more effectively? Is there new things out there? And what I'm seeing, especially with these student leaders, is like the heartbeat to be able to go the extra mile to reach friends who would never otherwise hear of the gospel. And I think as a church, one of the things that blesses this generation more than anything is knowing that you're just there. Knowing that you love, you support them, encourage them, whether it's just maybe you see a student in the lobby and you have a conversation with them, maybe you pray for them weekly. I think those kind of little things show support to a generation that potentially will inherit the future of the church, right? When all of us in this room are gone, there'll be another generation inheriting the church and moving it forward together. I want to make mention of this. One of our local teachers here in the Donegal School District, Justin Knighting, he every year does this prayer blitz through the different schools right here in the Donegal School District. So next Sunday at 1:30, we're all going to meet at Donegal High School. Anyone that wants to join, and they'll actually provide bus transportation around to the different schools. But the goal is to go to each one of those schools and to pray for God's presence to be there, especially as the new school year begins. And so if you want to know any more info about that, you can come see me, and I'd love to talk to you a little bit more about that. I'm going to invite the worship team back up, and we're going to close in a song. But before we do that, one thing that we did last year that we want to do again this year for Youth Sunday is we want to do a generational blessing. We want to, as a generation, as millennials, Gen Z, we want to be able to bless you guys. And then in turn, I think one of the powerful things about a generational blessing is that it's twofold. Not only are you receiving a blessing, but then you're praying a blessing on this generation. And so would you stand to your feet as we close out this time in prayer? So this first part, we as a generation just want to pray over you. And so if you're a student in this room, wherever you're at, out here, I would just ask maybe that you turn towards the congregation and just stretch your hands forward. And so let's pray. Father, we lift up every single person in this congregation. God, I thank you for the many people who have sacrificed time, energy, finances to pour into this generation. God, I think of the John Garbers and the Carrie Garbers and the Lucas Metters who have come up through this youth ministry and the impact that it's made on their life. And now they're serving in it, and now they're pouring out their lives to it. And so, God, I just release blessings on behalf of this generation, blessings over every person in this room, the people watching online, that they would feel your love. God, they would feel your presence. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus, for the generations that have paved the way for us to be here today. And we bless them. And so now, church, I'm going to ask you guys, if there's a student around you or some on the stage here, I'm just going to ask you to extend your hands forward. And I'm going to pray, and I'm just going to ask you, maybe in your own way, to pray prayers over this generation, that as you've heard many stories up here today, that God would continue to start a fire in this generation that wouldn't go out, that we would see one of the largest discipleship movements. And so let's pray together. Father, thank you for this generation. God, I thank you for these students who have paved the way for others. God, I thank you for Gen Z and even the new generation of Gen Alpha. God, I thank you that we're going to see a move of God like never before. God, we release blessings over this generation. We say they are welcome in your house. They are welcome in this house, Lord. We thank you for all the gifting and the new energy that they bring. And so, God, I pray that their faith wouldn't grow weary. But, Father, you would continue to start a wildfire. God, if 65% confess and believe in your name, surely there's more. And so we ask for those students in the Donegal School District today and beyond, God, who don't have relationship with you, that they would find you. They would find a local house of worship, and they would get plugged in there, and people in those churches would welcome them with open arms. God, we thank you for this generation, and we say, Jesus, would you have this generation? They're yours. We love you. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,